catch yourself. Never change your tune to clear out the room, to take a turn with somebody else.
Sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's alright with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely instead of me, always seems to know the way. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gone.
Morning, Medford. You are listening to Lovely Day by Bill Withers. It is currently 6:03 a.m. and you are listening to WMFO in Medford. So good morning, everyone. Today I have a special guest on. Special guest, do you want to introduce yourself?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Paige Shepherd. Fellow sophomore here at Tufts, and I'm excited to be here. Thanks, Molly, for having me.
Of course, we're so glad to have you. And our Paige today picked the intro song. So, Paige, do you want to tell us a little bit, like, what the song means to you, why you picked it, and how you came across it in the first place?
Yeah, so it's one of the first songs I think of when I just think of, like, starting off your day right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a positive vibe. It's love all around. The song reminds me of my sister because I just have distinct memories of her singing it and just, like, holding out the long notes. It's just so funny.
That's great. Yeah, so how's your week been going for those listeners who aren't currently college students? It is finals week here at the lovely Tufts University, which means we ended classes last Monday. And we get 2 days for reading period, a whole 48 hours, which means no classes and no finals, and then finals start. And do you have any finals today?
Oh, thank goodness I don't.
That's pretty good. I do have one at a sharp 8:30 a.m.
Oh my.
And so I'll be taking that, but then it's over, you know? The right. Good thing about finals is they're like just this impending doom that's like hanging over you, and then when it's done, it's done.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Just like that.
Yeah. So how's your finals period been going?
I feel like it's definitely been on the more stressful side.
Yeah.
But luckily, it's just sort of one big exam on Friday that's stressful, yeah. And then the other two are more spread out, have more time to figure out my way. So it's just like this last push, like today.
Yeah.
I'm just like, ah.
Yeah. We're at the end of the race. And just so listeners know, Paige and I are both sophomore mechanical engineers in a lot of classes together. And in fact, we're lab partners in the good old ES3, which is circuits. What is it called? Circuits and analysis?
I think so.
Something like that.
Oh, intro to electrical systems.
Yes, there it is. Yeah, so finals period is among us. I feel like at the end of the year, it's kind of a shame that our last days of the semester are so stressful, because a big part of college is like being here with your best friends and enjoying the people around you, and we're about to leave each other for a month, and in the spring it's even worse. It's like a solid 2 months, and everyone is kind of caught up in this stress and trying to get out as quickly as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
And no one really, like, you can't really celebrate the end of the year because it's just so stressful, and that's kind of a shame.
Yeah, it really is.
I think they do a nice job senior year with senior week, that like everyone, they make it fun enough that everyone kind of sticks around, and so people don't jet off, which is super nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends that, you know, they're finishing like tomorrow, and they're just piecing out.
Yeah. I remember last year my roommate left 11 days before I left.
Wow.
Which was so sad not to have her there generally. But then also during finals, like, that's the time you need a little emotional support, you know?
Yeah.
But I was like happy for her that she got to be home early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we can play another song. Let me think about what songs we want to play. So this is a good pick me up. Oh, you know what? Have you ever listened to Hamilton?
Yeah, I have.
I'm a big Hamilton fan. Do you have you listened to the mixtape that Lin-Manuel?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, also, those of you who don't know, Paige is an incredible musician. Actually, Paige, do you want to tell us about your just like musical history, what you do at Tufts, and a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. How far back do I start? Before birth? No, I mean, I don't know. I've always grown up around music. My mom is like a great singer. She's always had that outlet. My dad was in some musicals and some choirs in high school, stuff like that. So then, I don't know, I guess when we were around five, my siblings and I, my dad wanted us all to pick an instrument. I don't know. So I picked guitar. My sister ended up picking piano, and my brother picked drums. Like, oh, he really, like, man, tried to make a band.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. I don't know. It didn't quite pan out that way. But yeah, no, I've been playing guitar for years. Until around sixth grade, I was taking, like, lessons. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I sort of, like, it kind of faded away. And then I picked it back up, just teaching myself chords.
Yeah. Do you have a guitar at school?
I do. His name is Dustin.
Oh, that's great.
I don't name all inanimate objects, okay? but, yeah, no, and I also sing, I guess in terms of Tufts, I'm in the Ladies of Essence. Shout out to them. Tufts, only female a cappella group specializing in music of the African diaspora, whether that's R&B, gospel, jazz, hip hop.
Incredible.
Yeah, all of that. I'm music directing.
Yes, she is. She is the music director. And how many times have you said the catchphrase, "We are the only all-female a cappella group"? I feel like every time I hear the blurb of, like, the description of each a cappella, there's, like, a glaze that goes over the person's eyes who's saying it. Because at times I feel like every a cappella group has, like, a niche that they are the only. I remember, the Jackson Jills is the oldest, all-female, only, like,
right,
I don't know,
exactly.
There are all these, like, conditions to have the only group. But I've loved and really enjoyed the a cappella scene at Tufts. There's just, every time I go see a show, really of any, like, performance art, I'm just blown away by the talent at the school, you know? You just realize that, like, all of your classmates around you have this, like, hidden ability, and they're just, like, showcasing it off on
and
stage.
It takes shape in, like, so many forms. Like, I've been, because one of my roommates, shout out to Hakeem, he did some spoken word, and so I was able to, like, see that realm of performing arts, which was very cool. And even from things to, like, Tufts Tap recently had a show last week.
Yes,
and even I went and I was still blown away.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's just so interesting, like, how we're surrounded by so much talent in, like, so many different ways.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's very cool. Also, something that Paige and I do is we both play Frisbee. And something classic of the Frisbee program is to give everyone nicknames. And Paige actually got a nickname before she even started Frisbee. It's really an incredible story. Do you want to tell that story?
Incredible story. So I met some of the, I guess, recently graduated seniors that were very involved in Frisbee. And I found out about one of their nicknames, Megan.
Moose.
Yeah, Moose. And then, it was Moose, Mo, and Sandy.
Exactly.
Yeah, all three of them. We were singing in choir together. Like, it's just a funny place for us to meet.
Yeah.
So I was just joking around calling them their nicknames, and they decided to give me one, and, like, Pete stuck. And then, I don't know, I just had to check out the Frisbee scene after that.
Yeah, exactly. You can't have a Frisbee nickname and then never show up to Frisbee. You know, had to make yourself part of the program. But now she will be joining the program in this. Well, I guess she is part of the program now, but Frisbee doesn't really ramp up till the spring.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be an exciting season, I think. Yeah, it's kind of silly, the nickname
culture.
Because it's really hard for freshmen when they learn people's names and it's just not their real name. Because in this day and age, if you have to email someone or find someone on Facebook to get an address or something, it's really hard when all you know is, like, Jam, Moose, Nazak, Cones, like, just all these fake names that don't mean anything.
Isn't that right, Cobb?
Yeah. Paige brings up a good point. I do have a nickname, but no one really calls me that. You know, some stick and some don't.
Yeah.
So mine was very creatively sought out.
I don't know the story, actually.
Well, it's not creatively sought out at all. Shout out to, I believe Moose is really the creator on this one, but it's cob because I'm from Iowa, so as in corn on the cob. And so that's really all it is. And I think the saddest part is that it's not really that I didn't have any material for them to work with. There was a lot of things that they would make fun of me for on the side, you know?
Yeah.
And they could have picked like something with a real story. Like one of my favorite stories that I still hold important in my life was I emailed the UPenn Ultimate Frisbee team. The boys and the girls, I just Googled them, found the like team email, and emailed them and laid out some arguments for why they should change their name. Because they have, I forget what their current names are, but I said one of them should just name their team to second to last. And yes, this sounds like a really negative name, second to last. You don't want to be second to last. But I felt the irony of Penn Ultimate, like University mm-hmm. of Pennsylvania Ultimate, doubling in meaning with the word penultimate, meaning the second to last in a list, was just too good to pass up. And I offered that I would buy the first round of jerseys. And I feel like that is a pretty generous offer. And I did not send it from my Tufts email. I sent it from my personal email to try to unlink myself. But with social media, you can't really unlink yourself from anything. And so they didn't respond for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then just emailed me a month later and was like, thanks for your consideration. And then like, return. Like P.S. Go UO, which is the name of our women's frisbee program here. So I don't think they took that too well. But, you know, I have hope for another day. Maybe when I grow up, I will become the coach of the Penn Ultimate and I will just take an executive action and I will change your names. So again, that's just an example of, you know, material that people kind of gave me a hard time for that they could have, you know, given a nickname about. But that's okay. You know, we live another day.
Yeah. Wow.
And with that, I will play a song by, I don't know, I'm kind of feeling, I was going to play some Lake Street Dive, but I really like, this is a Bon Iver song, but a cover by Birdie. This is kind of how Birdie became famous. Because I think she was like 13 when she first
Skinny
sang
Love.
Skinny Love. Yes, you know.
Yeah.
So with that, we have some Skinny Love.
Would it be true to say that I ordered you? Or is it you that ordered me? I could say you are the only one I see, but I can't stop at two or three. And I am afraid to need you so. And I am too sober not to know that you may be my problem, not my love. Would I be lying if I said you were too sweet? Though I'm quite sure.
And that was a little Lake Street Dive, You Go Down Smooth. So Paige and I were just chatting about Lake Street Dive. We're both big fans. And I was thinking that they're really a great group because they're big enough that the songs are well known and everyone can have this like common knowledge of them, but they have a very different sound from, you know, like normal pop music. They're just such incredible musicians and artists. And Paige was saying that they all actually met at the Berklee School of Music in Boston, and they kind of grew up around here, or not grew up, but they started around here, which is very cool.
Yeah, I think in one of their YouTube videos, they're like on the streets of Boston. I think they're doing their like "I Want You Back" cover.
Oh wow!
Yeah, no, it was really cool.
Yeah. So Paige and I wanted to. Well, I don't know if Paige wanted to. I always like to kind of dive deep here at 6 a.m. on Chatting with Molly. You know, talk about the things that really matter. And I've been doing a lot of reflecting lately because it's the end of the semester and it's currently Hanukkah. And it is the first time that I'm actually not home for Hanukkah. Oh, which is kind of sad, because in past years, it's been late enough that I've been home from finals or home from my gap year. And so it's interesting that the Jewish calendar like fluctuates so much that mm-hmm. the holidays can really be in very different parts of your life. Different years. So I don't know, I've been doing some reflecting, thinking about like kind of what religion means to me, because Hanukkah is a really interesting holiday because religiously it's pretty unimportant. I mean, there are definitely things to commemorate, but you don't go to synagogue, which is kind of like the marker of a important holiday. But because it's around Christmas, it's just been like so hyped up and important that it's kind of taken on a different kind of worth. And I think the kind of worth it takes on is the traditions that each family sets for themselves. And so it's been sad not being home, but, you know, we make new traditions. Yeah. And so that's good. So I was thinking, again, I was thinking about what religion means to me. So I wanted to pose that question to you. And you can talk about kind of your background with religion or your current thoughts on it. But yeah.
Yeah, no, it's so interesting you said how just over time, like the worth of the Hanukkah has changed. And I definitely feel like that has also happened with Christmas mm-hmm. and in Christianity. I grew up in a Christian household, I guess, mm-hmm. like Baptist church. Going every Sunday, like my mom used to like take notes, you know, and, yeah, and she was in the choir and yeah, very much involved. And I don't know, over time we we just started going less and less.
Yeah.
But you know, I think we've all been deeply rooted in that, in those values. I don't know, so I feel like at this stage in my life I definitely identify as a spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, less of a weekly, like as in the word religious, like mm-hmm. routine.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I also went to a Quaker school.
Ah.
Yeah. And since fourth grade, it was like a K-12. And so a lot of those Quaker values have also like influenced my life, like mm-hmm. in a big way, definitely.
Yeah.
What made our school so, I guess what made it a Quaker school is we would have meeting for worships every week, which is just sort of like where you'd go to the meeting house sometimes, but sometimes you just sort of go to a classroom with like a couple, like 15, 20 students, whatever. And you'd sit in silence and just sort of like reflect. And I don't know, just use that time for whatever you want to use it for. And to just like take a step back from life and the rush and just like take 20 minutes to center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's definitely like been a positive impact on my life because it's definitely helped me be more in touch with how, like what's going on in my life, what I'm thinking about. I don't know, different things like that.
That's great. So do you ever feel that kind of centering feeling like when you go to church? Like, are there any similarities that these kind of two influences have brought to your life?
I think they both take two different approaches to like, I don't know, the light inside of anyone is like a very, like, is a Quaker sort of like main testimony.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's just the God, like, up above is like the common theme. And yeah. I guess Quakers sort of celebrate that by just like, just in different ways, like in terms of service, in terms of simplicity and mm-hmm. and just like kindness.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess like in the church, music is so big,
yeah,
it's just a huge concert hall, choirs and music, mm-hmm. and like it's very much like like praise him so much that he could hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just very, very loud, very fun, and very big.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And wow, those like two influences definitely sound kind of opposite, you know, like sitting in silence and like preaching and singing loudly. Did that Baptist church upbringing influence your music passion or sense of music style?
I feel like it definitely has, to some extent. I love a good, you know, just like choir chord.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so full.
Yeah.
It's a great sound. Yeah, I've always wondered what it's been like to like be in the church band.
Yeah. Have you ever been in the choir? You said your mom has been in the church choir.
I was in like the children's choir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so fun. Well, I had an interesting experience this Rosh Hashanah, which is New Year's, like Jewish New Year's, mm-hmm. and it's very reflective. Like basically you have New Year's and then you have 2 days, or sorry, not two, 10 days to sit and think about your year.
Wow.
And like, and your sins and all of the people you may have wronged. And so it's like a lot of reflecting on yourself. And I had a crazy week, and I was a little bit sad because my homework was really getting in the way, and classes in general mm-hmm. were getting in the way of like me being able to celebrate Rosh Hashanah in the way I wanted. Because sometimes if you skip class, it causes a lot more stress than like it's worth.
Yeah.
And so it was just a really crazy week, but I decided to, I was like rushing actually after ES3 back to change, get in my synagogue clothes and head to Hillel. And I was just like rushing. And then I got there and it was just like everyone, we were in the prayer, but then right after Rabbi Summit, who is like a fabulous rabbi that we're lucky to have at Hillel, just was giving a little talk and then told us to just like sit and reflect, and it was just silent. And it was like the first time that in a few weeks that I kind of forced myself to be in silence. And it can really be an amazing thing to just like calm yourself and allow yourself to think about either nothing, if like that's what you enjoy,
right,
or whatever you want, you know, like just let your mind go anywhere. And I don't know, with the stresses of school, having something like that is really, really important. Do you, and I definitely, every time I go to Hillel, I enjoy it and say I should go more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's hard, like spiritual life on campus is really hard. Do you do anything on campus to kind of like further your spiritual self?
I'm definitely like still navigating that.
Mm-hmm.
Before the school year started and I was still like around Tufts.
Yeah.
Actually my friend from high school and I, she goes to Northeastern.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Beacon Hill friends meeting.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I'm on their E-list now.
That's amazing. For those of you who don't know, a friends meeting is a Quaker, is it a Quaker school meeting, or it can be any Quaker meeting?
Yeah, it's just sort of like a gathering place.
Nice. And how was that?
It was very cool. And it's so interesting, like sharing the silence with different people.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're very, very dedicated people. Very, you could get the very sense of their Quaker pride.
Wow. And were there any differences between the meetings you were familiar with growing up at school and the meeting you guys went to?
Yeah, no, I think the main difference was just like the intention.
Gotcha.
You know, a lot of people, I can't even say that like everyone is like been able to sit in silence and reflect. I feel like it's such a rare thing.
Yeah.
And even at my school, like some people you know, didn't appreciate it as much. They were just like, oh, this is boring. I think at the end of the day, like, they were grateful for it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And it's hard when you're, you know, you're fourth grade and you definitely don't have a concept of kind of like taking time out of your day to be quiet. And, and then if it's just part of your routine, you kind of take it for granted.
Right.
And then you don't realize that it can like really be something special. But I'm sure a lot of people at your school came to like realize, especially as they got older, how important and cool it is that you guys do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you do any, what other things about your school were specifically Quaker?
Well, that was our mascot, for one. Well, when in like the middle school and like fourth, fifth grade days, we like sort of had like seminar-ish time where they like taught us about like Quakerism, you know, George Fox. But I mean, our school is just centered around, like, we call them the spices because it's like the six, I don't know, different main like pillars or I wouldn't say pillars, but like just like main aspects of Quakerism.
Yeah.
So it's simplicity, peace, integrity, community, equality, and stewardship.
Oh, nice. What is stewardship?
Stewardship is, well, glad you asked. Stewardship is basically, you know, leaving a place in a better state than you left it. And just sort of like, taking care of the space.
I like that.
Service, it's service oriented.
Yeah. Kind of. That's actually part of the kind of L&T, leave no trace, principles of sustainable outdoor activities. I think I'm a bad hiker and camper. I can't name the seven off the top of my head, but I know one of them is that you should leave the place cleaner than you came to it. So, and that actually means only, like, you should only take trash out, you know? Like, you, even picking, like, a leaf or a pretty flower off the ground is disrupting the ecosystem and taking away that beauty from other people. Because sometimes you don't realize that if you're on a trail, thousands and thousands of people are coming on this trail, and it only looks the way that it does because no one's taken anything, or very few people have. So it's interesting. We also, Tufts is a Quaker school, is it not?
Is it?
I think it was started, I should really look this up. I think it was started as like a full-on Quaker school. There was like Quaker meetings, and it was like in the, you know, mantra of the school.
Oh, wow.
But I think they kind of expanded off of that when they were like trying to get bigger. Pax at Lux, like peace and light, I think is maybe a Quaker saying. Oh, also, this is like an essay question every year. It's like, let your life speak.
Yeah,
is a Quaker saying, and that they have as a essay prompt.
Okay, that all makes sense.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
I must have known that. I must have. And it's so funny because the headmaster of my school actually also went to Tufts.
Really?
So funny.
Wow. And for the listeners, Paige, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Baltimore County in Maryland.
Amazing. Yep. Baltimore County. So is Baltimore County in, like, is the city of Baltimore in Baltimore County?
Yeah, So the county's right outside the city.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Very nice. And were you born there?
Yep.
Wow. Yep. Born and raised.
Born and raised.
Incredible. Have you ever moved in your life?
Like within the city, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, nothing drastic.
Yeah. I was also born on the East Coast. I was actually born in New Jersey.
Oh.
But then I moved when my family moved when I was about 2 weeks old. like, now that my cousins recently had some babies, and I'm now kind of seeing up close what it's like to have a newborn and a very small child, and I cannot believe that my parents moved across the country to a place with no family with an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-week-old.
Wow.
So I like recently kind of appreciated that. Wow. Shout out to Dad, who's listening, one of my most loyal followers on this Chatting with Molly program. And speaking of my father, he made a song request. It's interesting because I've never had music be a huge part of my life. Cool. I played the trombone growing up,
right?
And my parents put me in piano lessons that I hated and resented for so long. But now I'm like glad they did, because I have some sense of, you know, how to
navigate.
Play. Yeah, I don't know. I guess that taught me really how to read music. And so when I play trombone, that was just easier then. Yeah. But
I played violin. That was something I forgot to mention.
Violin's great. I also played the cello. That was fun.
Yeah.
But music was never like a really huge part of my life. But my dad would always play his music for me. Sometimes I would love it. You know, when he played the Beatles, I would like really love it. And then sometimes we'd be in the car and he'd play, I can't even remember really what he'd play, but you know, sometimes you just resent your parents for playing things, even if it's a great taste in music.
Yeah, no, my dad played so much like Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah. So
Great band, but just a lot.
Right, especially maybe for like an 8-year-old to absorb, and they just want to listen to like Avril Lavigne. And so with that, he made a request, and so up next we have Friend of the Devil by The Grateful Dead.
I lit up from Reno, I was trailed by 20 hounds. Didn't get to sleep that night till the morning came around. Sit out, run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Ran into the devil, baby, loaned me 20 bills. Spent the night in Utah in a cave up in the hills. Sit out and run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. I ran down to the levee, but the devil caught me there. He took my $20 bill and it vanished in the air. Sit out and run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. Get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Got two reasons why I cry awake, lonely night. The first one's named Sweet Anne Marie, and she's my heart's delight. Second one is prison baby, the sheriff's on my trail. And if he catches up with me, I'll spend my life in jail. Got a wife in Chino, baby, and one in Cherokee. First one say she got my child, but it don't look like me. Set out running, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Got two reasons why I cry awake, lonely night. The first
she got my child, her hair torn, looked like me. I said, I'm running, but I took my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight.
Multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just got invited to the prom. Do you A, meet her date?
I need to see your past date report cards, your driver's license, a list of references, and this hair sample.
B, help her pick out a dress.
Don't you just love the long sleeves and turtleneck on this pantsuit?
Ugh.
C, attend the prom undercover.
Mom, what are you doing here?
I'm not Mom, I'm... Calvin, the new kid at school.
Or D, capture her big moment.
Let's take a photo of you two. I'm in the middle.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Well, thank you, Ad Council, for that lovely PSA. Again, it is 6:49 a.m. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. Some of those PSAs are pretty funny.
Yeah, that was quite the ride.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, it's actually FCC law that during your radio show, at least I think it may just be for this radio station because we're like a student radio, and I'm sure different things come with that we have to do PSAs. And it's kind of a cool idea that like we get this platform, but then we have to like give back to the community and make them aware of these hazards.
Forest fires.
And ladders.
Yeah.
And so that's a cool little idea. So... have any plans this weekend or any thoughts on the year, you know, now that we're being reflective?
So this semester I had the lovely like opportunity to live with three guys in a West quad.
And West is a dorm on campus, and it is one of the nicer dorms. It's a beautiful building.
Yeah. Definitely. And actually, a couple days ago, we all got really nostalgic. Like, one of my roommates, Jose, like, kept a running list of, like, different quotes, different, like, references that we made.
Oh, my gosh, Jose.
Yeah. No, it was just really touching. And then Samuel comes out and gives us all Christmas gifts.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, it was just really sweet. And he gave me, like, a ukulele. Like, Hakeem got a speaker. And Jose got a new fedora.
What?
No, it was just really sweet. And I don't know, there's a lot of like changes happening next semester.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like really important for us to like share in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you decided your living situation for next semester?
I have. I decided just a minor relocation, a couple floors down. One of my friends is actually moving in the West. So, yeah, so I'll just get a little more space, but I'll still be able to
hang out.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm so glad that you guys kind of had that moment so that everyone knows that you guys are still, you know, very close group and that you mm-hmm. had a great time. But, you know, sometimes you just need more square footage.
Exactly. No, it's literally square footage.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Paige and I have spent a lot of time with each other this semester doing lots of homework together and being in class. And I think we've both felt that it was a tough semester.
Yeah.
We are both taking some pretty hard classes. But we made it, man.
Yeah.
We're here.
That's crazy.
We got through it. And that's, I think, I've been thinking a lot about academic success and what that means. You know, during finals, you're always kind of thinking about, okay, what is this academic success I've been striving for?
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I think with a, I can confidently say that I can look back on the semester and be proud of the hours we put in, you know, and like the work we
Definitely.
Turned out. And I guess the knowledge we learned. but that's kind of a cool thing. I think it's cool to sometimes see professors be really passionate about something. We're in this class, ES5, which is statics and dynamics, mm-hmm. which can be a very dry class. It's just kind of forces and stresses and moments of inertia. But our teacher is a civil engineer / environmental engineer by trade. And it's pretty cool seeing him just get really excited about things. It's just
in his
aren't
red
exciting.
Pants, just like erasing all day.
He loves his red pants. And he'll like do these proofs on the board where he will just try his hardest to get us engaged and just be like, guys, like, look at the, doesn't it just make sense that this would be this because of all the math we just did? And we're all just nodding along like, yes, professor.
He's definitely right. Noticed like the lack of like questions as the semester's gone on.
Right. He'll kind of come in and be like, okay, so like, is it a really hard week for you guys? Like, you guys are so quiet. Like, is ES3 another class that most of the kids are in? Is that like really revving up? And we're just like, yeah, I guess. but it's a good time. What's been a class or moment in a class that you've enjoyed this semester?
Oh, no, you definitely know the answer. It was in ES3. I don't know. I started out pretty rough.
Of course,
like, my first exam did not go too well. I was like low-key crying in Professor Price's office hours. And, you know, he told me, he was like, don't lose faith. He's saying all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, okay. and he was trying to comfort me. He was like, my wife is like, also into music, like
trying to relate to you on some level.
Exactly. No, I appreciated it, but I don't know. I did go into ES3 liking the class. Like, it's very electrical systems and like circuits and knowing that stuff is like something. Like, I don't know. It feels like real engineering to me.
Yeah.
Less of like the ES5 like, trusses and whatnot. I don't know. So eventually I buckled down, and the next exam I got an A, and now
did.
All he does is rant.
Oh yes. As we know, Professor Price loves pain. I remember Professor, I've gone into his office hours a few times, and you know, he doesn't not like me. He like feels fine about me, you know, tries to comfort me. I didn't have the type of improvement that Paige did quite so much. But on our last day of class, you walk out of the class, I'm like, bye, Professor Price, like, thank you, see you, like, whatever. And then Paige is behind me and goes, bye, Professor Price. Professor Price walks over to her, gives her a firm handshake. Paige, it's just been a pleasure to have you in this class. And it was really heartwarming. Man. He's a big Paige fan.
Yeah, no, he's really sweet.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He tells some silly stories, though. I think he always cracks me up because, you know, it's a tough class and a lot of work, and everyone in the class has struggled with it at some point. And it's really hard material, and he kind of has this, like, happy-go-lucky kind of approach to it, which is interesting at times, but at the end of the day, he really is a nice guy.
It's very appalling, like, contradicting, like, the massive workload.
And he's like, oh, like, you know, just read the textbook for understanding, but then also do 17 homework 17 problems every week that take an hour each.
Did you just the chill?
Yeah, they do. But so it is currently 6:57, which means we might need to wrap up a little bit. You are listening to WMFO in Medford, and Paige and I, speaking of these.